You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.
Today on our show, we're talking with Nancy Barr. She is the chief curator at the Detroit Institute of Arts. Nancy, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about what you're working on now. What project are you currently involved in?
I live and work in Detroit, and I've been interested for some time in what art practice is historically and in the contemporary world in Detroit. So my projects for about the last 5-6 years have dealt with artistic practice in Detroit, specifically with photographers and installation-based artists. So I've been working on a series of largely photography exhibitions that deal with photographic practice in Detroit, what the traditions there have been, which have largely revolved around working class culture and industrial culture. And now it's getting very different because the city's changed so much. But largely that's what I have been working on and will continue to work on for a while. Not a lot of people know about art practice in Detroit. We're getting a little bit of publicity now, in the New York Times and otherwise, but I think it's a really, really interesting and growing research area for me and hopefully other curators.
So let's talk more about that, because that's fascinating to me. I have, of course, heard much more about Detroit, and then there was that Todd Levin show about Detroit that seems to be getting a lot of attention. You seem to have such a great window in on the evolution of Detroit and what's happening. I mean, I guess to start with now, what's happening now with artistic practice as you see
right.
it, you know, through your lens and, you know, you don't have to be sidelined by what I'm saying here, but what is it that seems to be changing to you in the historical context that you're working in?
Yeah, it's an interesting place because there's so much creativity and there's a little bit of support from the foundations for our local artists now. The Knight Arts Foundation is giving out some fellowships, and so is the Kresge Art Foundation. So there's some support out there for artists to get some funding to work, which is always really very helpful. That helps as a catalyst for young artists especially. But, you know, I'm seeing a lot of the landscape shifting from traditional art practice into more social practice. So there seems to be a lot of interest in that in the community in general as artists kind of move out of their studios and become more active in the communities that they work in and getting to know people and getting to know sort of on the ground what's happening day-to-day culture-wise, socially, and even politically in the city. So I'm seeing a lot of that kind of art practice emerging. And it's been written about a little bit. I think a lot of people out there may know the work of Tyree Guyton, who transformed a pretty derelict neighborhood into an entire art installation by buying old homes and inviting artists to come in and do installations there and working on the homes himself.
And is there something that the press is missing about what's happening in Detroit? I mean, you're right there and you're seeing, you know, what sounds to me like a kind of social activism among artists. Is there something that's missing in the perception of how the media and other states?
It's interesting, you know, because, you know, you travel a lot as a curator. You go to Europe and elsewhere, and people in the contemporary art field seem to know that there's something happening in Detroit. They may not be entirely sure what it is, but in general, the larger population, I think, don't really see Detroit as a comeback town. Some of us locally see it being right now. So there's definitely a perception out there that maybe it's a little bit of a wasteland, and there's really not a lot happening culturally, and quite the opposite is true. So there seems to be, you know, people, it's probably one of the only places around where you can start something up. You can rent a space really cheap. You can get a space for free really cheap. You can do a pop-up gallery. You can do a temporary installation. There's a lot of old industrial spaces that are being transformed into gallery spaces and installation spaces. So it's happening, and we seem to see people coming in from elsewhere to help facilitate those spaces. So that's definitely something that's happening, and hopefully we'll start to get a little more press as the years go by and things continue to work out in that way. I don't see it stopping. There's been a lot of interest from some local businessmen in revitalizing the downtown area of the city and kind of helping this process grow. So there's definitely a spotlight for some people, I think, in culture to look at Detroit as sort of this place where you can come and pretty inexpensively do things that help support artists.
Yeah, it sounds very exciting. I a friend of mine was talking a lot about it a few months ago, saying, you know, we should go down there, that there's amazing houses to buy. There's, you know, Mies van der Rohe row houses and kind of extraordinary architectural gems that are there. It seems to be are the local businesses also recognizing this paradigm of artists and the community of artists being able to contribute greatly to the revitalization of a city? And by that I mean, is there support for artists locally?
Yeah, I think there is. The gallery, the commercial gallery scene is kind of an area that needs to be bolstered up a little bit. And I think there needs to be maybe a little bit more patronage among collectors for some of the things that are coming out of the local scene. That would really help a lot. But I do see that people like Dan Gilbert, who owns Quicken Loans, and Nathan Forbes, who's one of his business partners, they've been pretty active in helping to revitalize spaces and even, you know, supporting our museum. I know that much. Jennifer Gilbert's on our board, and they collect art. So there certainly is an interest, and that support's out there. And like I mentioned, the foundation, Kresge Foundation and the Knight Foundation, are offering challenge grants and fellowships that really do help artists get, you know, some type of project started up or help support them in the process of making their art for a limited amount of time. But I think that what Detroit really needs is some long-term support for artists, and maybe that could happen with some kind of incentives to get commercial galleries up and running and maybe get some of this art out to the annual bigger fairs so some of our Detroit artists get known a little bit better. But there's definitely support there. It's just, you know, maybe the level of support needs to get bolstered up a little bit.
And is it hard to just survive for artists? I mean, maybe this is naive on my part, but is there jobs there that people can get by on, like waiting tables or something like that? Or
that's a really good question, because, you know, in places like New York and L.A., there's definitely that kind of, those industries, you know, help people get day jobs, right? Or there's even, you know, small art support groups like shipping and packing places, and, you know, that help give young artists jobs. So it's funny, because the restaurant scene in Detroit's finally really starting to pick up. So there's a lot of new young chefs, a lot of new restaurants happening. So there is a little bit of the day job happening at that level. There's a couple galleries that employ artists, but that's definitely something that needs to get worked on too. Some people teach, so there's a couple of really good colleges in Detroit that offer part-time teaching and those kinds of opportunities. So there's definitely some day-to-day jobs available, but you do have to work really hard. And it's tough, because often there's not really a way for you to get your work seen at a national level. So kind of segueing into something else here. But, you know, I think there's work, and you can support yourself there, but you have to be pretty savvy, and you have to be able to work hard.
That makes sense. Let's talk a little bit about the beginnings of your career. How did you first get into curating? And we could go as far back as childhood or when you're...
That's an interesting question, because I think about that a lot. I grew up in Detroit, and I kind of fell in love with the museum when I was a little kid. And I never really thought I would work there. I thought I'd leave Detroit and go somewhere else and do something else, but I landed up in art college at the College for Creative Studies in Detroit, and I worked for a while as a photographer and eventually went back to school and got a degree in art history, and again, didn't really think I'd end up at the museum, but I landed a curatorial position there, entry-level curatorial position there back in the 90s, and it just seemed to be a place where I could grow, and, you know, the curatorial field in Detroit, the Detroit itself, the DIA, is a pretty traditional place, so thinking out of the box is a little bit unusual. I had support from Graham Beal, who was our director for the last 14 years. He retired recently, and Graham had a very refreshing kind of outlook on exhibitions and the way we present things to the public and an interest in being more relevant and kind of blowing the cobwebs out of the DIA. So with his support, I kind of really flourished there. My career really flourished there, and I've been able to do quite a few exhibitions over the years, like over 30 exhibitions. We have a great permanent collection to work with. And then I've been able to work and do some commission projects with some really great people like Dawood Bey, who came to town and did a commission project portrait work with some high school students. And that really got me interested in working in Detroit. This was probably 04, 05 that I did that. And then just my interest in the city, in what was going on in the city, seeing that there wasn't really a history of art practice or photographic practice in Detroit, and seeing a lot of the ruins photography that's been predominant on the internet and elsewhere, really prompted me to kind of look at, you know, what else has been happening all these years and what other things could we look at outside of our dilapidated buildings that could prove that there's been a lot of interest in Detroit as a working class culture and an industrial sort of mecca for years. I mean, our Ford Motor Company Rouge plant has drawn a lot of famous artists into its doors to photograph and paint. So there's really been a lot of interest for somebody to do that. So I had a lot of success looking at that kind of history and tradition in Detroit. And it's brought me a lot of success at the museum. And I've enjoyed it quite a bit.
Well, you've seen sweeping change. I mean, like no one else, from a child to now. I'd imagine Detroit has changed radically. When you started curating in the 90s, what was happening then? How was Detroit then? And when you were dealing with artists, was this perspective very different than now? And
yeah, so, you know, it's funny. There was a really strong tradition of painting and sculpture and installation work in the 70s coming out of Wayne State University. So it was called the Cass Corridor art movement. And I kind of lived in the shadow of that for a while. But in the 90s, the 90s were such different times, you know, pre-9/11, pre-economic bust. The 90s were actually interesting years in Detroit, and there was a lot of people in the art scene and in the music scene. It was really a small scene, and it was pretty intense, and there was a lot of energy and a lot of activity, and there was a feeling like, you know, we kind of had this microcosm, and we were really enjoying the isolation of it. I know that sounds odd, but I can remember somebody saying, you know, I know that some outside people are going to come here and they're going to see what we have and they're going to want it and they're going to ruin it for us. and it kind of happened in a way. We, you know, the spotlight turned on Detroit, and you know, a lot of people started coming in to do residencies, and it just changed a lot. So there's this whole idea that there's this sort of outsider insider, these different cultures clashing sometimes, which I see that happening a lot in recent years. So yeah, in the 90s it was interesting, because that was when a lot of things started to really, really fall apart topographically in the city. abandoned buildings. Everything was wide open. There was a lot of urban exploration was pretty rampant in the 90s through the 2000s, and then it started to tighten up quite a bit over the last 6-7 years. There was kind of like an open door, and there were a lot of people coming in, and I think techno music in general brought a lot of people from Europe to Detroit. So, and then the rise of digital photography in the 90s and 2000s, really in the mid-2000s, really saw, I think, a lot more sort of not advertising for Detroit, but certainly there was a feeling that Detroit was a place to come and see and experience. So it slowly over that 20-year span really became a very, very different place than it is, you know, right now. It's a very different place. I mean, I look at places like Williamsburg and New York, and I see Detroit there. I see Detroit at that point, you know, with the artists living there. And actually, Williamsburg's pricing out artists right now, from what I understand. Can't really afford to live there anymore. Is that true?
Right.
Yeah, so...
Right, yeah, yeah. No, it's impossible now. It's almost like Manhattan.
Yeah. Maybe it's like Williamsburg 10 or 15 years ago, but I kind of see that kind of gentrification happening in the downtown and midtown areas in Detroit. So it's a very different place, but I'll tell you, in the 90s, I really enjoyed that sort of isolation and that very small, intense art and music scene that was happening in Detroit back then. It was a very different place. It was kind of like being in on the ground floor and seeing a lot of things happen. We all kind of knew things were going to start to happen in the art world. So it's been very exciting.
That is exciting. In closing, I would like more people to visit, to come to, you know, Detroit perhaps, and see the Detroit Institute of Arts. What's the next show that's happening or that you're involved in, and if you know the date, so people can come?
Well, I just closed a big exhibition, I'm sorry to say, that was called the Walk-In Portrait Studio, and I've been working with a Dutch photographer who lived in Detroit for quite a few years, and she set up a walk-in portrait studio at a foreclosed home and did photographs of the local community in that neighborhood and moved us all around. So I'm kind of taking off from there and working on another exhibition for next fall called Detroit After Dark. And that's kind of in development right now. So, but other than that, this fall we have an exhibition coming in from the Rubel Collection called 30 Americans, which is all African-American African-American contemporary art, and that's going to, we're really excited about that because we've never been able to really bring a wide variety of African-American art to Detroit like this, contemporary art. So we don't do a lot of contemporary art shows at the DIA, so this is a big one for us. We're also reinstalling and opening our ancient Middle Eastern galleries, which should be interesting, and then in the spring we have an exhibition called The Art of American Dance that we're organizing with our guest curator, Jane Deeney. So we have some things coming up. The permanent collection at the DIA is pretty interesting. You know, we spent most of last year trying to save our collection from getting sold off. So a lot of people come in to see many of our famous paintings, from Van Gogh to Bruegel to you name it. We have a beautiful permanent collection and a beautiful building. So a lot of people don't realize the depth of our permanent collection and really how stunning our building and the setting is for it. So we're seeing a lot of traffic to the museum just for people wanting to see that part of what we have, our collection, so, which is kind of unusual because people don't normally come to museums to see permanent collections. They go to see the special exhibition. So I'm hoping that people will come and kind of enjoy all the beautiful things we have in our permanent collections as well.
I hope so, too. I'd like to come down as well. Nancy, thanks so much for talking with me today.
Sure.
I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WIVC. This is Brainerd Carey with The Art World Demystified.